This is from Trevor in our Discord. Scheduling. It is 1000% a skill that some people, self-included, are abysmal at. What can be done to prepare our minds for the challenge of navigating time by ourselves and with others? There are strategies, of course, such as working back from the end goal, but I'd be curious for a full dive into what is considered intuitive and intrinsic to a person who is good at scheduling versus learnable skills that make it more approachable.
Well, I cannot speak from the perspective of somebody who is good at it, or at least who finds it easy and natural. I can talk about it from the perspective of somebody who is absolutely horrible at it and has tried to make a lot of progress in the past couple of years. So that's me.
Yeah, same. I think some aspects I excel at, and others I am, like Trevor said, abysmal. Yeah. So this will be fun.
So real quick, because I was trying to think about this a lot this week about scheduling and what that means. And I think that the term is somewhat broad. In my mind, it kind of breaks down into three different categories, and we could sort of talk about them a little bit individually. The first one would be daily scheduling, which is just the shape of your day and how you break up your time and that turns into all the habits you have and everything. The thing that just cycles through every day. Maybe that's a little bit different on weekends versus weekdays and whatnot, but your daily schedule. So that's one. The second would be like event-based scheduling of stuff that just happens sporadically of, hey, I have a meeting or I need to take kids to soccer practice and that kind of thing. So there's that. To me, that's not that interesting to talk about. You're mostly just, if you have a meeting, you have a meeting. You should probably try to have less meetings, whatever. That's that. And then the third, which I do definitely want to talk about, is the project-based scheduling, where you have some goal or something that you're trying to accomplish, and you have to somehow turn that into all these little tasks and objectives and time that you actually spend on these things in order to accomplish this big goal. I think that is a very challenging thing and is very much worth talking about. So at least in my mind, the first two are the interesting ones. The event-based stuff, I don't care about too much. Does that kind of line up with your thinking?
Yeah, definitely. The day-to-day, sort of daily routine / to-do lists stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then the immovable things, right? Like meetings or events that you have to go to, weddings,
yeah,
funerals, whatever. Then more mundane stuff. And then the self-driven projects, right? The things that you actually really want to do that are sort of dependent on you to do them.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking about it too. So I have an example of that third one, of the self-driven thing. So when I was trying to learn about art and all of that stuff, I came across this blog post by one of my favorite artists. His name is Adam Rex. He is a children's book illustrator. He's also an author. He does all kinds of things, but he's really, really good, and I really admire his work. So I'm reading through his blog, and I come across, and this is early on in my art pursuit, and I didn't know that much about how art is actually made, at least the type of art that I wanted to do. And he gave this this description of how he illustrated this book. So he gets a manuscript. I think it was actually from Neil Gaiman, because he's illustrated some Neil Gaiman stuff before. But he gets a manuscript, and this is his process for all the books that he does. Gets the manuscript, he reads through the whole thing, gets an idea of the overall story and the feel of it and everything. And he's tasked with doing, let's say, 30 paintings for this book. So he then reads the manuscript again, and he starts highlighting passages that seem to suggest imagery, you know, like what would be a good thing to paint, what would be, you know, a good idea for a picture. So he goes through the manuscript again, and he starts highlighting, you know, different sections, and he may end up with, you know, 50 different lines that seem to suggest a good picture or something. Then he will do tiny little thumbnails of all of those passages, tiny little sketches, little thumbnails, whatever. And he, you know, he'll end up with, you know, 60 to 100 of them or something like that. And then he'll start separating them and organizing them into different different categories. So let's say this is a book about, you know, you go to a zoo or something. These two kids go to a zoo. He has a book like this. Anyway, you might have, you know, 10 drawings or 10 paintings that will be about the elephant, and then 10 that'll be about a monkey, and then 10 that are more architectural or environment based, whatever. You start separating all these things into different categories, and then you start selecting the top pictures, right? So you have to whittle the 60 to 100 sketches down to 30, right? So he starts getting rid of the ones that don't seem to work. He chooses his favorite ones, and then he's got 30 rough sketches, and they're all categorized and whatever. And then you kind of take one section at a time. So let's work on the elephant ones first, or the architectural ones first, or the main character ones, whatever. He'll do sketches of the characters or whatever, trying to get the look and feel, and then he'll just slowly crank his way through the whole thing. And when you're doing a book like that, you also have a deadline, you know. So let's say you have 3 months to do 30 paintings. That's roughly, well, 10 paintings a month. And then that's 2 to 3 paintings a week, right? Some paintings are going to take longer. Some you can knock out in a day, whatever. But you have this pacing that you have to follow. And you have to be very smart about your entire system to get this thing done. So you have to break it down into all these smaller parts. And then you just start the research. And then you go through the process of doing the actual painting itself. You do the research, you do sketches, you do a final drawing, and then you do the painting. And he'll even build models and do all that stuff. But he's so calculated, and a lot of artists that do this type of work have to be this calculated in order to do this kind of artwork. And that way of thinking has always stuck with me, or just that one blog post just has stuck with me through my whole art career. And it's exactly how I break down assignments at work. I'm not usually doing I've never done an entire book before, but you get a prompt, you isolate the different things in the scene, you get a good feel for the story or the environment or whatever it is you're going to be illustrating, get an idea of the whole picture, and then you do little sketches, and then you isolate the different elements in the scene, and then you do the research for each one, and you have to pace yourself really well, because it's due at, you know, end of day Friday or whatever. So you do research and sketches Monday and Tuesday, you work on the drawing Wednesday, Thursday, and then you have the, you know, painting on Friday or whatever. And it has to move along, and you have to break things down that way. Otherwise, you get completely lost. You can't just jump straight into the finished product. You have to attack these things that way. So that way of thinking, where it goes big, smaller, 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 and then to the day-to-day, you know, this is what I have to do today, has always stuck with me. And it's the way I work at work or for freelance stuff all the time. And it works amazingly well. And it's exciting. And I love doing that. There's something really fun about breaking down these big projects and problem solving your way from the beginning to the end, and then actually hitting that. It's like, you just feel like a genius, and it's awesome. So that's an example of it working. Where it doesn't work, or where I have struggled with it immensely, is in my personal stuff that I've been trying to do over the last year or so. I will come up with this master plan of how to do something, and there's no real deadline. And things trend and then keep trending, and then I get lost or stuck, and then I change direction, and then it just becomes this huge mess. And I think there's a lot of different factors as to why that is. But there's so many more unknowns. Like, I don't have a specific blocked out amount of time. I don't have a clear direction of what actually needs to be accomplished. Like with the book, you have 30 paintings, needs to be done in 3 months, whatever. Like, you have very specific things. But when it's yourself, all of those things are just kind of free-floating, and they're all over the place. So that's my giant struggle area, is everything to do with myself. But I also experience this flip side of the coin, where I'm able to execute these projects very well. Never missed a deadline. I think I do pretty good work. I mean, so it's weird. It's like two different environments, but anyway.
Let's kind of set aside that problem the this works for work but not for me problem.
Okay.
And we can talk about that maybe a bit later, because I feel like there's a lot there. But I want to go back to what you're describing from this painter's process and everything, because I think there's actually a lot there that's a bit subtle and easy to get wrong. Just this whole topic of scheduling and trying to manage your time somehow, I think it falls into that category of thing where it just doesn't, it doesn't feel that important, because you listen to that process. Oh, they organize thumbnails of paintings and then, you know, do X number for the elephants and X number for the monkeys. It's kind of like, yeah, that's mundane. That's, you know, just organizational stuff. It's not that exciting. It's not like, oh, I go stick my feet in a cold bath of water and stand on a mountaintop and that's how I get inspired. Like, it's not some weird thing. It's just mundane. But it makes all the difference in the world. It's the difference between, you know, the way somebody manages their time and what they actually do and the frame of mind that they're in, and all those things add up to their entire success as a person, more or less. So anyway, there's a lot that I think is very important that doesn't necessarily feel important. So first off, what you're describing is this person, this artist, starts out by building this big collection of little thumbnails. I think that's actually really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, if you're on a tight deadline, or even if you're not, if you're working at a fixed price for a contract, then it is in your interest to get this project done as quick as you can. I mean, no matter what, that's to your benefit. And if you're up against a deadline, then you have to get it done very quickly. Starting out by doing a whole bunch of tiny paintings that you aren't going to use does not feel intuitive. Like, for most people, if you feel, oh my gosh, I gotta get this done, you want to grab the first thing and just go. Like, get paint on canvas or whatever your process is. I have to get this done, and then I gotta go to the next one. Like, you want to just charge through and do it all. Taking all of this time to do a whole bunch of little thumbnails that you are not going to be using, like, that is not final art at all, it feels like a massive step backwards. Like, I'm going to take all this time to do something that doesn't directly result in the final product. So it kind of illustrates how valuable that really is, because you're sacrificing time in order to do it. And I think it is immensely valuable, because part of the task, you know, you can almost think of like the final result as this boulder, this big giant thing that needs to be done. But you can't just do that. You cannot just sit down and paint a children's book front to back without stopping to think. It's like you have to take this boulder and shatter it into a million little grains of sand, and then each one of those can be done individually. Like, you can only actually do something at this very small level. And even a painting is a large boulder. That's getting broken down into tiny little bits of, okay, I'm doing this character and even the brushstrokes and whatnot. But that, like, figuring out how to go from boulder to sand is part of the process. Like, that is a job that has to be done. You cannot just start doing it. Like, you have to somehow go through the work of getting it down into those little things. And I think every project, like, that is part of the process that must be done. How do you get it from big giant thing into a bunch of tiny things? Like, as an example, I was just looking at this. So my personal project I've been working on, the space repetition software, that's been a major task, is trying to figure out, hey, here's this big thing I want to do. What are the actual line items? What are the to-do items? And I just checked, my current, like, active to-do list is something like 300 items long. And then the to-do list items that I've done is about 1,200 individual things that were, you know, go fix this bug, go change this layout, go figure out how this thing is going to work. You know, all of those, it's like, there's been 1,200 of those. And then that's even discounting all of the other sort of high level things that aren't quite as concrete that have been laid out and put down. So it's in the thousands of items, and I'm not even that far in the project. Like, there's a long way still to go, which I think just illustrates like how much this stuff has to get broken down into tiny granular things. But there's like a bigger thing there that I think is really key. Have you ever heard of the halting problem?
No.
It's like a computer science thing. I think this was Alan Turing. He made this like a computer scientist from like early 1900s or whatever. He made this observation that if you take a computer program, just any given program, you can't actually predict whether that program is going to run indefinitely or whether it will actually complete and exit, so halt. The only way to know is to actually run it. Now, this isn't true of every single program, but there is no way of predicting with 100% accuracy whether any given program will run forever or not without actually running it, which is a little bit academic. In this case, when I think of the scheduling part, it's like you can't take the boulder and turn it into sand without having tried to do some of these things. Just to really lean into this dumb metaphor, it's like you don't really know what's inside the rock. There could be like little bits of hardened rock or sand or something. Like, you don't know what's in there, right, until you start breaking it down. So you can't really do it until you've started to break it down. Like, you can't just do the rock, you have to do the grains of sand. So you wind up in this awkward spot where it's like, I need to do stuff in order to see what's going to work and what makes sense. But then I can't be doing all the little stuff because I need to do the organizational piece of breaking it down and structuring it into different areas. And so there's this very challenging middle part of kind of breaking it down, but then I'm kind of doing things, and then I'm kind of going back and evaluating, and you keep sort of having to flip between the top and the bottom. And I think that is a very challenging thing to do. I think it's very, very easy to get stuck doing one or the other, where you just spend all your time kind of theorizing and saying, I have this big plan, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, without any real concept of whether that's possible or practical or how long it's going to take, or if it even fits with the other things you're going to do. But then it's also very easy to get stuck where you wind up just, okay, I got to go do stuff. And so, like in your example, you're painting something and you're just fixated on that and you're just grinding it through, but maybe it doesn't actually fit with the overall theme, or the style hasn't really been nailed down yet. Or, I mean, it's so easy to make those types of errors where you either are too focused on the big picture, or you lose sight of the big picture and you're too focused on details and you wind up making mistakes either way. So all that to say, that process, which sounds very simple, I think is brilliant. Like, it's perfect, which is start, like, you have the big picture, immediately go into doing a bunch of stuff, but at like the minimal layer, the minimal amount of investment, where you're doing all these thumbnails, you're having to put something down, but it's tiny. It's simple, it's easy, it's flexible, and it's easy to go back into thinking, okay, wait a minute, we don't need 15 pictures of the elephant. It should be mixed up or whatever. So you kind of like put yourself in that middle ground where you can kind of dip back in and out between the detail layer and the higher level layer.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense. That scheduling or doing this plan of attack, or coming up with a plan of attack, it's a prediction on one hand. It's also sort of an expectation. And then when you start doing it, you can find out that you're very wrong and you need to reevaluate and redo it. See, and this is, I think, the problem that a lot of, or just all of us run into, is that on the one hand, you want to be able to make a schedule that you're going to stick to, because that's going to get you the goal, right? But then you get into it and you start working on it, and things stop, or things aren't working, right? And you can blame one of two things. Or actually, you can blame a bunch of things, but the main causes of blame are either you are not dedicated enough, or you're not good enough to carry this out, or the plan is totally wrong. And I think most times we decide to blame ourselves for not being dedicated or good enough. And we don't often reevaluate the big plan, because the big plan usually sounds really, really good. You know, I want to paint 100 paintings by the end of the year. Well, that means I need to do a lot of paintings every single day. And then if I start, you know, during the days, I'm not actually able to complete that many paintings, I can either feel really bad about it, or I can come up with a different schedule that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I think I err on the side of just blaming myself and then feeling bad and then just kind of giving up and dealing with the guilt forever instead of just coming up with a better plan. But in scheduling, like, it's hard to talk about because it's sort of vague, and there are different wants or needs that you're trying to get out of that schedule. And of course, it's sort of different for every single thing that you're trying to plan. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I do think that there are, I mean, that's the point of this conversation, right? Is to try and dig out some of the core principles mm-hmm. that make the difference between, you know, somebody who is good at this and somebody who isn't. So what you just said, I think, is really key, which is the planning part. Sometimes, actually often, I think, you see this a lot at the New Year's resolution time, that kind of thing.
Right.
Often, the plan is really a fantasy. It's this thing that we're dreaming of, almost as if we're an anime character, of, I'm gonna train and become the best thing in the world. And we just have this fantasy of, I'm gonna do 1,000 push-ups every day this year, and I'm gonna come out looking like 1970s Arnold Schwarzenegger, be super jacked. Like, that's, we just have this fantasy. That's fun. That's fun to think about. There is a place for that. But when you actually put that down as a goal and realize within like one day that that is completely unrealistic and not possible, then you wind up blaming yourself for, I just can't do it, I'm not good. Like, it's so stupid when you lay it out. When you actually think about it, like, this is a joke, but we actually do think that way, and we actually do wind up in these like depressive, self-defeating cycles of, I failed my fantasy plan that wasn't real. And like, maybe that's an extreme example, but I think it does filter down into something a little bit more subtle, where you really are just planning way beyond what is realistic for the amount of time you have or just the place you're at. You know, 100 paintings a year, you know, one every 3 days, nonstop for 1 year. Is that, I mean, is that even remotely realistic?
No.
One good check, at least, is like, is there anyone who could do that? You know, can James Gurney do a painting every 3 days?
Yeah. I mean, that's not a real goal of mine. And yeah, there are people.
I know.
But
even, I mean, you have set goals that are not quite that high, but they're still pretty ambitious, right? Like, I'm going to do a painting every 3 weeks or something.
Yeah. And none of those types of goals ever work for me.
Right.
But okay, so on the one hand, you have a dream or a fantasy that you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
And then on the other, you run into some difficulty in making that work. So does that mean give up on your fantasies and dreams? Or like, how do you balance the, okay, I have this crazy ambitious thing that I want to do. Let's say that's good. Like, you want to accomplish that ambitious dream.
Yeah.
But then in the day-to-day, it's not looking like it's going to work. So do you kill the dream, or do you problem solve your way to a better system to get there? I mean, you can't think about both at the same time. You can't think about the day-to-day and the big picture at the same time. You can't always do that. So
right. How
do you balance one and the other? You know, do you change your dream, reevaluate that, or do you change your schedule, reevaluate that? How do you balance?
Well, okay, couple things. So first, if your dream is a fantasy, then you are going to have to change it. I remember when I was a kid and I first saw Star Wars, I wanted to be a Jedi so bad that it hurt. I wanted lightsabers to be real. I thought for sure if I just like tried hard enough, the force would work. Like I would just every day I would try and move a thing with my mind.
I went through the same thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did. And as sad as it is, that's not a thing. You can't be a Jedi. That's made up. So I had to readjust my life dreams because they weren't realistic. And if your dream is to be the best something in the world, like it is possible, you could be better than the other 7 billion people, but that's tough, really tough. I remember being in music school playing guitar, and I never like thought that I would be the best in the world, but I wanted to be really good. I wanted to be an amazing, you know, guitarist and musician. And I remember just a couple observations that I had during those years at school. One was that I was playing classical guitar, and the amount of room for classical guitarists in the world, like the type that are performing musicians that people go to their concerts and buy their CDs, like the amount that the world can sustain is like 6. That is how many classical guitarists can exist, because there's not a ton of demand. And then second, I was around a lot of musicians and people who were, you know, also trying to be really good and everything. And so you would kind of observe the ones who were on a really good trajectory and the ones who weren't. And the ones who were doing really well, the ones who you're like, man, they're gonna be good. They're gonna get out of school and they're gonna go on to do, you know, postgrad, or they'll be a professor, or they'll be a performer, whatever. Those people were just incredibly single-minded and dedicated to what they were doing. They would sit in a practice room by themselves all day, all night, all the time, and just grind out the same tired old pieces that everyone has heard a million times. Like they're just dedicated to that, and it's boring and it's tedious and they don't care. They're just like completely dedicated to that goal. And I remember thinking, man, I don't want to do that. For better or worse, I'm just interested in a lot of different stuff. I was getting into software development and working on music apps. I was a guitarist, but I was really liking playing piano, so I was spending a lot of time doing that and just other stuff. I'm like, I'm not that single-minded. Point being, this is a bit of a tangent, I know, but point being, I had a fantasy of being this incredible, you know, concert guitarist, and I realized that the things that actually entailed, the stuff that would have to go into that, were just not something I even wanted. You know, if you wanted to do one painting every 3 days, think about what that would really take. I know it's not actually your goal, but just pretend it was. You would have to spend so much time doing that you're sacrificing almost everything else. Like, is that what you want? Is that actually good? You know, if you're going to be
right,
the best athlete on earth, one, unfortunately, genetics play a part in that, but also just the amount of time and suffering you got to put into that is monstrous. So point being, understanding what you really want, not just the I want to be a Jedi fantasy, but hey, what do I really want? What do I want to do with my time? Does that line up with this goal that I have? Like thinking through that part of it and thinking, you know what? Actually, I do not want to spend 10 hours a day doing this thing. If that's what it would take, I don't really want to do that. So there's my answer there for the fantasy part. The other piece of this, though, I had said there's 3 different aspects of scheduling. One we're going to ignore, which is the event-based stuff. But there's this project-based scheduling, where you're taking a thing, breaking it down, and there's more to talk about there. But the other side of it is the daily stuff. And I personally, I have completely flipped on this, where I think that almost all of your attention should be in the daily schedule. Like, what do you actually do in the 24-hour diurnal cycle of waking up and going to bed? Like, what does that look like? Because that is actually what matters. I can make as many to-do items as I want. I can have thousands of, I gotta do this thing and that thing on this project. It doesn't matter. They have to actually get done. And the way they get done is me spending time every single day working on those things. And it's not that hard to wind up where you get really excited and motivated and maybe even fixated on something for a period of time where you're just dumping every spare thought and bit of energy into this thing. And that can feel like that's true productivity and you're really accomplishing your goal. But by its very nature, that's not a sustainable thing. You can't stay in that frame of mind for a long time. What you have to somehow do is develop a sustainable cycle where every day, without burning yourself out, without causing tremendous amounts of fatigue or frustration or whatever, you're actually able to invest your time into something. And then that is what actually gets those things done. Let's pause to talk about the program-based stuff for a second. And I would love to just talk about the daily schedule part. Now, I know that you and I are in way different spots in that you have a full-time demanding job that you have to commute to and from. And I think you're even doing physical therapy before your job, which sounds crazy. So your time is very limited and in many ways dictated by your job. Mine is not. I'm much more flexible. You know, I work from home. The hours are more flexible. So I get a lot more opportunity to like design my schedule, which is great, but also has its downsides too. But any thoughts on like that part of it, the daily thing? I mean, you've been working on the painting stuff for quite a while this year. You know, how does that look for you? I mean, like I said, to me, that is what actually matters, is getting your time structured and invested every single day for a long period of time.
Okay, well, I have so much on this. This last year and a half, has been a huge learning experience with that exact thing of having a fantasizing about results and then seeing them, in my case, not happen on a day-to-day basis. And I have gone through this so many times, and I will continue to go through this because I guess it's just how it is. But you come up with a plan, you try to do the plan, and then you realize, oh yeah, I work a full-time job, and now there's so many unknowns that pop up. Like now I have to go to physical therapy 3 times a week before work or during work or whatever to fix my hand, which is getting better. Everything's fine. But I'm going to be doing that for another month or two or whatever. So I have even less time. And then now I got to do, you know, stretches and workouts outside of that. I'm also in a work band. So I have to go to band practice. We have a show coming up. So I'm going to be doing more practices. I have a giant convention next week that we'll be going to. It's this huge trade show. It's called IAPA. And it's enormous and will suck up the entire week. Lots of driving, and you have to do your work on top of that. Anyway, there's so many things that constantly come up that I never consider. I don't even think about including in my schedules when I'm planning. So right. When I'm planning all the stuff I want to do, I think about all the stuff I want to do. So I want to do these types of drawings, and I want to work on my story stuff, and I want to work on paintings and whatever. And then I come up with a plan for that. And then I put it into reality, and reality just lights it on fire and gives it the middle finger. And so what I have been trying to learn, and I have made some progress in this, is the make a plan or a prediction and then watch it all fall apart. And then instead of letting yourself fall apart, just try to look for the parts that caught on fire first, the weak parts of the plan that went up in flames first. And how do I fix that a bit? And so some of that is lowering expectations of, okay, you can't do these more ambitious paintings in a shorter amount of time. They just don't work. So maybe at the end of this one, maybe you don't do those ambitious paintings. You got to switch it up to do something more manageable. And I have found some things to be more manageable. So lowering my fantasy from Jedi to something less than a Jedi, I think has sort of been key. And I've slowly started lowering expectations or lowering, I don't know, just lowering the fantasies in order to speed things up. It's just been this back and forth for the last year and a half or so, trying something and then finding out that it doesn't work and asking myself, why did that not work? And then when I make the schedule again, It works a little better. A few things that have really helped in simplifying schedules and stuff is just taking blocks of time, you know, identifying times of the day where I have a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening. That's just two areas during the week. And then, you know, same on the weekends, you got different blocks or whatever. Just seeing different blocks of time instead of, okay, this is a big one that I've learned is just doomed for failure every single time. And that is planning around intentions. I want to be really good at this thing. That might work for a few days, maybe a week or two, but it will always fall apart. So planning things based off of just a want or desire or a fantasy, they just don't last and they always fail. So learning how to take those feelings and then put them into a plan has been a little bit better. But there's dealing with unknowns makes things really, really difficult, which is, you know, I 2 weeks ago, I had like a birthday party and then family came over. This weekend, I planned on painting the whole weekend, but then I had to get everything ready for the trade show next week. So I'm, you know, driving to Orlando, picking out outfits, whatever. And then whatever. There's just dealing with so many unknowns and trying to take those fantasies, put them into reality and realizing how wrong they are. Learning how to bounce back from that failure has been sort of the theme of this year, I think. And it's not been easy. I don't know if that answered your question, but there's a rant.
No, it does. Yeah. So I've been, like I said, I've been really, really focused on this. And it's been surprising to me in a few ways. One, it's shocking how difficult it is to do even something very simple. So, you know, for me, I lay out my day of, okay, I'm going to do a 2-hour work block every morning on my project, and then I'm going to go exercise, and then I'm going to do a 2-hour work block on my job, and then I'm going to eat lunch, and then I'm going to do another 2-hour work block, stuff like that. So I have these things laid out, and it looks very simple, but even the very first one, the wake up, go do 2 hours on my project every day, there's not a lot there. And it's shockingly difficult to get that figured out. I mean, I struggled to do, not that I had maybe put it in those explicit terms, but just me trying to work on stuff that I cared about was something I had wanted to do for so long. And I would just fail at it over and over and over. I would go through periods of work and then periods of complete abandonment and not even touching it. And like, it was just these big kind of feast famine cycles and all that stuff. Just getting to the point where I could do that thing number one on the daily schedule has been like a Herculean effort, and it requires some challenging things like getting up at the same time every morning. That's not easy. That kind of implies that you're going to bed at a reasonable time every night. That's really not easy, especially as somebody who's dealt with insomnia quite a bit in the past. Of even on the days when I got in bed at the right time, I still can't go to sleep, so I'm up, and then, you know, the next morning I don't want to get up. I feel like I'm killing the little bit of sleep that I wound up getting at all, and then it's this terrible cycle, right? Even just that, take out the work piece of it, even just the get up part. Literally item number one on my daily schedule has been years in the making of trying to get to where I can get up at the same time every morning. And I have been for quite a while, but even that I know isn't set in stone. Like, that is very easy to have that get undone. And then it's like everything else collapses after that. So point number one, even with the daily schedule, the fantasy part is a major problem in that it's very easy to just come up with this, oh, I'm going to work 14 hours a day and you've got every minute mapped out and I only need 10 minutes to eat and then I can go back to this thing that I care about. And it's just so far beyond what is actually something you can do sustainably. So I think of it more like strength training, which I know I use this example constantly because I don't know, I like it. If you are weak and you have a goal to be strong, you don't decide, okay, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and train with super heavy weights that I've never lifted before for 10 hours. And I'll do that every, like, it's not realistic at all. You would think about where you're at right now, and you would develop a very slow progressive overload type of program where you start out with a small amount of training and then you adapt to that and then slowly build that up over time. Like, that's how you would deal with your physical strength or your cardiovascular fitness. And that, I think, is also how you deal with trying to essentially put your life in order, is to think, all right, let's start with something really simple, you know, getting up before 10 for some people. Like, for me, years ago, that itself would have been a big goal, just consistently getting up before 10 a.m. And then slowly building your way into to something substantial that actually is like a good amount of volume and consistency and everything. So that has been a major piece of it for me. It's just understanding how to build this up over time. And then there's this other kind of aspect of it where it's almost like you're kind of meeting yourself from two different ends of the spectrum. Like, there's the you that makes the plan, you know, the thinking you, which is very prone to the fantasy and to, you know, coming up with unrealistic things. So you have to be very careful here. And I think starting very small, you want to err on the side of very small versus very big. So just very simple things you're going to try to get done, you know, tiny habits that you're installing into your day. So there's that part of you that comes up with a plan. And there's the part of you that actually does it, you know, the you of tomorrow morning that's going to have to actually do this thing. And so the planning you has to be very smart and very understanding of what tomorrow morning you is actually like, and the actual motivations that you feel and the amount of energy or lack of energy that you're going to have. So there's planning you, trying to be smart. Then there's tomorrow morning you actually doing stuff that, you know, has to put forth some effort and will have to exercise willpower. Hopefully not too much. You're trying to design around that as much as you can. But you kind of have these two things. And so, say, getting up at the same time, right? That's difficult. Can be really difficult. I struggled with that for so long because it even implies so many other things. But even though it can suck for a while, actual waking up you does adapt to that, where at first it sucks, but eventually it becomes easier. And then eventually it can be almost compulsory. Like, you can't even avoid it. Where an example is, I used to do a lot of intermittent fasting where I wouldn't start eating until like 12 p.m. or 1, and I would eat up until like 8 p.m. and then stop. So I wanted to restrict my eating to that window. Did that for a very long time. At first it sucked. I'd be so hungry in the morning. I really wanted food. I just had to, like, don't think about it, go do something else. Eventually, I quit doing that. It's like, okay, I'm not going to worry about intermittent fasting anymore. I have other dietary controls in place. I'm going to focus on that. And I can't eat breakfast. For years and years, I would only be hungry at 12 or 1 because I was so used to that, that it just became the thing my body was used to. And eating breakfast just felt gross. Even this morning, I wanted to eat before we got on. So it was 9. And I'm just like choking down a little snack bar, like, ugh, this sucks. I don't want to eat this. Because something that was very hard at first, eventually my body just adapts to the point where it doesn't want to go the other direction anymore. I think that is something we don't appreciate very often. But when you're designing your daily schedule, you know, that 2-hour work block that I've been so prioritizing, if I don't do that, something interrupts it. I'm like, ugh. I feel bad. Like, I want to be doing that. It's no longer a right thing that I have to make myself do. It's like a part of my day that I crave and really, really enjoy. And I feel kind of weird and off if I don't actually manage to do that work block there. So anyway, the points I want to get across, I know this is kind of fuzzy and like abstract, but thinking about the daily cycle as this sort of almost like exercise training or something that you're developing over time, like you are adapting to and building up the the pieces in place and all these small habits that go into it. That's just something that you want to be iterating on constantly. Like, I have this list and it is my day, and it starts at the beginning and goes to the end. And it's all these little habits that structure it, and all the, like, the way the time is broken down. And I keep working on that. Like, I, not that you have to write it out explicitly, but I have, and I found that really useful. It gives you a good way of trying to think about how to change things and, like, what typically goes wrong. How do you integrate new habits? You know, I was just at the dentist and my hygienist was like, "Hey, so flossing, like, you really do have to do that. You know, I know it feels like eat your vegetables, nobody cares kind of thing, but, like, you really do need to do that." I'm like, "Okay, fine. I will figure this out." And I was talking with her about it. She's like, "Yeah, you know, I actually think it makes sense to, like, don't do it when you brush your teeth. Do it in the shower or something like that." I'm like, "Oh, in the shower. Cool." So I put some floss in the shower, and it's kind of nice because when you're taking a shower, you're already there for it. You know, you're going to spend X number of minutes in the shower. Like, you're fine with it. You aren't in a rush usually. So to me, wash your hair, floss your teeth, like, that made sense. And so I've been doing that. But I have this, you know, on my daily list, my daily cycle, I have this little staging area of, these are the habits that I want to get inserted. I want to get them integrated into the daily cycle, and floss is one of them. And it actually was, you know, last time I went to the dentist, but I failed to do it. But now it's like, okay, this is going to go in when I take a shower, during the shower. And that's been working, and that's starting to crystallize inside of my daily cycle. So anyway, I could probably, like, talk about my own personal day that nobody cares about forever, but I think that this is, like, the, of all the stuff, of all the time management tools and all of these things, this has been by far the most valuable thing to me, which is figuring out and constantly iterating on my daily cycle and just trying to not only build a better plan, but also learn how to execute that plan better and better over time, because things only happen during that daily cycle. That is the only time that your fantasy ideas ever get done, is when you actually spend time on it every day.
Yes. And I think separating, or what you're talking about here, separating the day-to-day you and then the overall plan and seeing them as two separate entities.
Yeah.
If you think about, let's say you have the most perfect plan that's ever been made, and it's like this vinyl record, okay? It's perfect, it's flawless, and then you put it on the record player and you start playing it, and your needle is broken. Doesn't matter how perfect the plan is, it's not going to work. And the last couple months, I've been feeling like me, the needle is broken. Like, I'm so exhausted and overwhelmed by things right now. It's just my plans, which I actually think are pretty good. I mean, you know, for the most part, I have good plans, but I'm failing at everything right now because I'm just broken. Like, me, myself, I'm just not working right now. And so treating them as separate, because And it's difficult because there's a learning curve in any new plan, right? It takes a little while to get used to them or whatever. So sometimes it's hard to distinguish between, okay, is this just going to take a while, or is this a bad plan, or is it just me? You know, but where does the problem lie? But I don't know. I think that I've realized that my plans are pretty good for the most part. I have to figure out how to not be so exhausted and overwhelmed and frustrated with other things right now in order to execute any plans at all.
That is one major piece of the daily cycle, is what is the fatigue level? Is it sustainable over time? You know, the entire point, and this is easy to forget when you're thinking about it, but it is something that you're trying to do forever. You know, until you are dead, this plan.
I mean, theoretically, there's some sort of end date to whatever goal you have, and then you choose a different one.
Sure. But I'm not talking about the project thing. I'm talking about how do you spend your day. Now, you know, that could change over time. It should change over time. It should change probably frequently as you make tweaks and adjustments. But the plan is to continue doing something, to have some sort of cycle every day forever. I mean, this is, you know, whether you decide, okay, now I'm going to build in 7 hours of free time to my daily plan. Cool. But it's still, I mean, I am someone who has lived without this entirely for a long time and who has been living with it for quite a while now, a year plus in different iterations. And the difference for me has been profound, just in terms of how depressed I am, how much I'm able to accomplish, all of that. Like, just my overall health and mental well-being have been massively impacted by this. And again, I understand people are not all the same, but I think we are, there's a lot of overlap even with very different people. You know, like I said, years ago, I never would have even entertained the idea. But a major piece here is the health aspect. Does this feel good? The goal is to wake up the next day and feel like you are ready and happy to do it again. I mean, that is a major piece of it. And that's harder than it sounds. You know, that if you can't do that, then you failed, or maybe it's hard at first and you adapt to it, right? Like, that's possible. Okay, I got to grind it out for a week and then I'll feel better. But if you don't have that piece of, all right, I feel really good by the next day, you're screwed. That's not going to last. And it sounds like you are not hitting that very important part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll try something, you start getting used to it, and then something comes up and screws everything up. So keeping anything consistent for a long period of time with the environment that I'm living in now, just, you know, job and everything, it's just very hard to keep any momentum going for a long period of time, because something will come along and just break the whole system. But I just need to adapt or change things or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, so I was kind of struggling to find, what are the biggest problems that you think people run into with scheduling? Because I don't know if I really have talked about this much with other people, or I don't really see it that often. I don't really know what people struggle with when it comes to scheduling.
I mean, I'm mostly speaking from personal experience. You know, probably have had some conversations with people, but maybe not that much. It is that kind of thing that, even though it's super important, probably doesn't get talked about a lot. I think the fantasy thing is the biggest one. Your plan is dumb because it's a fantasy. And that's something you just have to be very, very aware of. Like I said, you see that every new year, people set goals that are stupid.
Right.
And don't do them. Another one that I fall into a lot, and I think is common, is that when you put something down on paper, it kind of makes it very concrete, which is good. And it makes it something you don't have to think about as much anymore, which is good. Like, those are benefits of that process. But it can also make it feel much more important or unchangeable than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were describing with this painter who, you know, wants to do a children's book and then does all these thumbnails and then does whatever. Part of the reason to do that, to do the thumbnails, is that it keeps it very flexible. You know, you haven't invested a ton of time in this tiny little postage stamp sized drawing of an elephant. You know, it's designed to be changeable. If it wasn't, then you would just go ahead and do the full painting. And I think that's a very, very important piece. Like, for me, this project I'm working on, I have run into this problem several times already, which is I'm thinking about the high level stuff, thinking, okay, I want to use this framework in order to do this thing. You know, I'm going to use this framework in order to send data to and from a server. And so I go figure out what I need to do, and I put it into the app, and then I start figuring out the API and like working on all these details. And I wind up with all these little to-do items. Okay, figure this out, figure that out, implement this thing. And so I'm just like down there in the weeds, just grinding through these things. And several times this has happened where I've realized that I missed something very high up that was very, very important. You know, I'm using a framework in order to do these, you know, web requests. And I realize that it doesn't work on iOS. You know, I'm building a cross-platform app. I typically develop it on desktop, like using Linux, or maybe check it in the browser. But I forget about the Android platform or the iOS platform. And so I spend hours and hours and hours like working on all this stuff and then realizing, oh, I made this massive error in that I picked the wrong thing and I didn't think through all the things that needed to be thought through. And so now I just have the wrong framework in the program. I got to rip it out. I got to do something else and make it work on these other platforms that I forgot to think about. So the mistake there is I knew at the moment that I was deciding, like, okay, there's a couple different ways to do this. I think this one makes sense. And then it's like I just kind of dive into that piece of it and tunnel down into the details before I've really properly thought through that stuff. Like I just kind of went down to the detail layer without going back up to the high level thinking about it layer. I think that is a problem that happens all the time, to the point where... So back in my freelancing years, so often, I mean, I worked on tons of different projects for all different types of people and companies, you know, companies you've heard of. There's a lot of like significant projects. And so many times I remember thinking, these people have it wrong from the top. Like the whole plan here, the whole app that they're trying to build is stupid and wrong. Like they're giving me all this stuff like, hey man, can you please like, you know, we think the font is 1.2 big and we don't really like the alignment on this button. Do you think like, what if we just scooted it over by 2 pixels? I'm like, we should throw this whole thing out. Like forget the pixels on the button. This whole thing is dumb. And it was, I mean, I wasn't always right and not always smarter or whatever, but very often as the person building it and really thinking about it and having to, you know, think about whether or not it works or not, very often I was right. And sure enough, in 6 months or a year, the thing was dead and pulled off the App Store because it was stupid, because like it just did not actually serve a need, or it was not the thing that customers wanted. I've seen that so, so often. I think that has to be one of the biggest mistakes that people make, is as soon as something starts to become concrete, you're like, cool, my mind can latch on to this. Let's think about this button. Let's think about this font size. Your mind has such an easy time. It's like the bike shed principle, right? Like the stuff that you can think about and reason about is simple. And you don't really want to think about the big stuff anymore, which sometimes can be just massively important.
Well, not to get into this, but I mean, that is how the corporate world works. You make a decision, we want this product, and then you just move straight forward. There is no going back. There is no reconsidering unless the guy at the top wants to reconsider it. It just moves forward no matter what. But yeah, it shouldn't
see
do
this
that.
With Overwatch, if you follow any of this, but like Blizzard and Overwatch, they made some really stupid decisions. Recently they had decided they wanted to do Overwatch 2, like the sequel. And I mean, this is a massive AAA game company. They're like one of the biggest ever. They wanted to build the sequel and they had announced all this stuff they were going to do with hero progression and like talents and things. And they spent years working on this and then scrapped it. Like it's hard to fathom how much work and money goes into this thing that was stupid. And then they just threw it away, and everybody is very upset. And they released Overwatch 2 on Steam, and it's the most poorly rated game on Steam of all time. Like it has shattered the record of bad ratings for any game on this platform, at least in part because of these astoundingly stupid decisions. Anyway, like not that that's super relevant, but you see it. You see it in the massive scale, and it happens on a smaller scale too, but I think this is definitely one of the biggest problems.
Okay, well, I jotted down a couple things to just watch out for with scheduling and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I haven't proofread those, but are problems I have had. And one of them is the negative side of scheduling. Like you said, when you write it, it becomes written in stone. Yeah. And that can be great. But if you start sliding and you start going backwards, like at the beginning of this year, I made a list of a bunch of goals that I had that I wanted to complete by the end of the year. I knew I might not hit all of them, but I really wanted to hit them. And a couple of them I've had to cancel. I have fallen short of, whatever. And so when I look at that list, I think, God, I failed. It's almost the end of the year and I'm not going to hit these things. Now, what I don't have on that list is all of the other things that I did do. But I don't really care about those because I didn't write them down in stone at the beginning of the year. Right. So there's this buildup effect of plans. And they are great, wonderful, ambitious things until you get on the other side of them and they didn't happen. And then they just tower over you and crush you. And towards the end of the year, it just seems to build up and be bad when it's stupid because I'm the one that came up with them and I could just get rid of that. But right. I don't know. It's just a weird negative side effect of being too ambitious or, I don't know, unrealistic. I'm not a Jedi by the end of the year, so I'm mad at myself, which is stupid. Another thing to just watch out for is the novelty effect, which we've talked about many times. Throughout the year, and this shows up all over the place, but throughout the year, you know, I'll be following my planned system, my schedule, and then I'll find something else that seems way more interesting. It's like, no, I was wrong the whole time. That's the answer. So I run after that and abandon my old plans and then feel bad about that. But the novelty shows up, or the novelty effect shows up all over the place. And you always think the new thing is the answer, or the new, and sometimes it is, I guess, but it's just something to watch out for or lean into or just observe and understand, because it never, ever lasts. The feeling of something being new and exciting, it doesn't last. Give it 3 weeks or a month and it'll be gone.
Yeah. One good antidote to that. So sometimes I think it's fine to just be excited about something and go do it, right? There's a place for
that. Absolutely.
But if you notice a pattern like I have of, hey, I do this every couple weeks because I get something I'm excited about and then it actually becomes difficult or not quite as fun as I thought, and then that makes me want to go look at something else, right? A good antidote there, I've been doing this with my workout program. I have so many times jumped from one thing to another because I think, no, this one's got to be better. I listened to a podcast and this guy said that the true secret was blah, 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 right? And then I start looking back at my logs and go, holy crap, I've been super inconsistent and I keep jumping on one thing and then switching off. A couple things. One, with the workout stuff, I keep a running log of all of it. You know, every day when I go do a workout, write down what I did and then I write notes about it. Just very free form. Today felt really good. Or I managed to go up a little bit on this thing. That's awesome. Or hey, my ankle felt kind of funny. Just that. And it's simple and it's mundane. But just doing that is, I think, super valuable because it makes you have to think about it. It makes you put it down and it gives you this thing that is very honest that you can go back and look at and go, hey, I'm not progressing on my squats because I never do them. I always skip squat day. That's why. It's not because of the program or whatever. The other thing though is that there's a bit of a balance here, but committing to something for a decent but reasonable amount of time, saying I'm going to do this program for 2 months, that's not that long. 8 weeks, you know, that depending on how many times per week, that's 16 sessions, maybe 24, 25. You know, that's a pretty reasonable number. I'm going to do this workout 24 times. So do that, unless it's going terribly wrong, do it, commit to it. And if during that process, like probably at that 3 week period when it starts to get kind of hard and you start to fantasize about other stuff, say, okay, I'm really excited about this program. I'll do it once I'm done with the current one, if I'm still interested in it. And that's like a really good acid test of, was this just novelty effect? Like, after the 8 weeks, do you still want to do that program? If you do, maybe it is really good. If you don't, it was probably just you got excited about this other thing that was just grass is greener type of situation. And then, you know, you make whatever decision you need to make. But that has been just really helpful for me, is put some limits there on, you know, I'm not going to commit to a program for a year. That's way too long. But I'm also not going to commit to it for a week. Like, finding that right amount of time where it's actually doable. You really can commit to it, but it builds in enough flexibility to where you can change in an intelligent way. I think that's what's worked really well for me.
Another thing to watch out for, or just pay attention to, and you hear this talked about a lot, like with the Eisenhower matrix or whatever, is just paying attention to what's important and what is urgent. I think everyone has a tendency to go for the urgent stuff, the stuff that seems like it or is really important for the day. Oh my God, I have to do dishes, so let me do the dishes. But you choose to do that every single day and you never work on what's important to you. This is where the blocking of time seems to really help. Is that, you know, if I can block out, you know, some time in the morning where I do not do urgent stuff, I do the important stuff, then the rest of the day, you know, I can take care of all of those urgent tasks. But being able to separate those or see different tasks, if you make a list of all the things you want to do, see if you can identify them as being important or urgent or, you know, time sensitive or whatever. Like, just being able to think about all of those different things in that level of, is this important or urgent? Just being able to see like the quality of that task is very helpful.
I will add one thing to that. And I totally agree. But I have noticed, and I've been doing this, and I think this is really helpful for me, which is, you know, I do my 2-hour work block in the morning and I wake up and then I get out the door and I just go start. I try to eliminate anything that I can between those two moments of just, I don't want to be hanging around the house feeling sleepy or whatever. So I'm sitting down and I'm like, oh my God, my brain feels like, you know, wet concrete. Like, it's just not moving yet. And I feel very incapable of doing the most important task that I have. Typically, the most important stuff is the stuff that requires some pretty deep thought and problem solving and taking things apart at different layers. And if I just try and slam my mind into that first thing every morning, it doesn't feel good. And it makes it, it starts to hurt that process where the next morning I don't really want to do it because I know it's very difficult. So I think of it like a warm-up almost. Like, I have tasks in my list that I flag, you know, I have this text list of different to-do items. I'll put little emojis there, like a, you know, a little fire for something that's important or whatever. I'll tag certain ones with, this is very easy. This is the kind of thing that I need to do when I'm first sitting down. Just, hey, we need to go change the function names on this thing or reorganize this file, like stuff that just doesn't require a lot of deep thought. And that can be the first thing that I do. And within 10 minutes or so, I'm good to go. I feel focused. And then I start to get into the more important stuff. But I really do think that that little bit of an on-ramp it really makes a difference with how that process feels.
Yes. When I say important, totally agree. When I say important, I don't mean necessarily hard.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Make things easy too. I mean,
yeah,
I hear that a lot, but actually that's a big one. I need to remember that one. These things seem to be getting harder and harder.
I think that is absolutely the wrong direction. I think.
Yeah.
Part of one of the signs that things are working is that it does feel easier.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, it's not good. Yeah.
We kind of already said this, but I wrote down, thinking the answer lies in cracking the scheduling code. Yeah. I have so often put all my energy into crafting the perfect plan. And it's like you're totally fulfilled by that because you just made this perfect route from fantasy to, completion of that fantasy, and you just succeeded. So it's like scheduling or coming up with this plan just fulfilled your need to fulfill the plan. Like, it's, I don't know. More energy should be put into actually doing it, but I think that's just common sense.
Well, I don't think it's common sense at all. I think one of the earliest podcasts that we did was on procrastination, and I like to think we've improved since then. So I'm not recommending going back and listening to it. But one of the biggest things that I think we both got pretty excited about and interested in was this idea that, hey, maybe procrastination is not a time management problem. Maybe it is an emotional problem. It has to do with how you relate to the things that you do or don't do and the emotional roller coaster that they put you on and why you choose to avoid them and do other things, right?
Right.
I mean, at the time, that was such a novel and exciting idea. Like, hey, maybe this problem that has persisted our whole lives is not a time puzzle, which is almost always what is prescribed. If you say I have trouble with procrastination, it's, well, write things down or make a schedule or block out your time. And like, yeah, there is value for that. That's kind of what we're talking about. But that's not the real problem. The real problem is an emotional one. So here, like that problem shows up here. And that's why I kind of like dividing the scheduling thing between the daily cycle and the program or project oriented stuff, is that we tend to think that we just need to build a better and better plan, you know, solve the puzzle, get the answer. But, and yes, there is, I mean, we were just talking about how it's easy to make big mistakes where you wind up just doing the wrong thing and it ends up being worthless or near worthless. So that is totally there, but nothing matters more than just actually doing it. Are you actually doing the thing, and are you hitting those fundamental points of seeking to make things easier and more sustainable and, you know, slowly building things over time rather than just, you know, throwing it all at yourself at once? Like, those very simple underpinning concepts, like, are you doing that? That is the place to start. Not the, I gotta crack the code for my perfect plan.
Right. Okay. You ready to wrap this up?
Yeah. I have one more point I want to throw out there that was on my list of things, which is, kind of two things. One, in that process of breaking something big down into small things, a lot of that happens in the moment. I'm working on my project and I realize, oh, I got to do this, or I got to do that. Or I'll make some little observation of, hey, this doesn't feel quite right. This needs to go on the list of things to do. Like, it's just stuff that happens during the process, and trying to establish a system of getting that out of your head and written down without totally derailing whatever it is you're working on is very key. Just a very quick outlet of write this down, get it into the plan. It's one of the grains of sand that needs to be dealt with at some point, but not having to spend a lot of extra time. So if you have to like fire up a program and log in and open up your thing and then write it down, that is no good. If you have to go dig in your bookshelf to get out a notebook and write it down, that's no good. Like, they're part of the work process for me is having this super fast, almost thoughtless outlet for those little things. Just get them down and then get back to what you're doing. The second thing is that one of the underpinning things, one of the fundamental important things about especially the daily schedule is flexibility. Can it absorb something weird happening? Because that happens all the time. You know, for me, this is something I had to figure out. Just, I go to the coffee shop in the morning, I'm ready to do my work, and everything's mapped out to the minute of when I take breaks and when I go home and when I exercise and when I all that stuff. And then a friend of mine shows up that I haven't seen in a long time. And am I going to be an asshole and say, no, this is like my schedule, I can't talk to you? No, of course not. Like, I care about this person and want to talk to them. So we talk for an hour and a half. And then it's like, okay, what now? Is my entire day going in the dumpster because I saw a friend? Like, it has to be able to accommodate that kind of thing. So how do I restructure things and what moves and what gets sacrificed? Like, just trying to think through that stuff and even build that into my thinking of, it's like, you know, if you build a ship that's going to travel through space into the great beyond, and it's awesome and it's super fast, and like, if it, but it gets hit by a laser and it explodes, like, it doesn't, that's not a good ship. It has to have shields and it has to be able to absorb damage and still work, right? Like, that's right. That's part of what makes that work. Anyway, that's my last little bits there on that. So yeah, how do you want to wrap this up?
Thank you, Trevor. I actually enjoyed this, and I think it was a good thing to just kind of look at. So thank you. And yeah, if anybody else has any suggestions of future topics, let us know, because this is fun.
Yeah, this feels a little bit more in line with our usual, and I liked it. It was nice. I think this is just something to bring a lot of awareness to and just think about. It is a process that you iterate on probably forever. It's like a skill, a way of thinking that you just have to cultivate and continue to try and make better over years.
Yeah, you have to, because the environments change. Everything changes. What you want changes. Mm-hmm. So being able to consistently adapt to new situations is the skill that you have to develop.
Yeah, and you learn more about yourself over time. Like, part is right. This goes back to that halting problem. Like, you kind of don't know how you work until you start making plans and seeing what works and what doesn't, and then you make adjustments because now you have new information about the way you operate.
Right. I don't think scheduling is a thing you can just, I win. I have accomplished scheduling skills.
Like, yeah.
I beat the game. It's just a constant. It's problem solving.
To me, it's like a relationship with yourself. It's like, you know, you and your significant other, if you have one. That is not a thing that you just get sorted and then, okay, now it's solved. It's like a thing that you just always are working on and having to pay attention to and iterate on. And this, to me, is a relationship with yourself, like the planning side of your mind and then the doing side of your mind. And you just, that's just a lifelong thing that you have to build that connection and adapt to things. Anyway, yeah, thank you.